Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 9, How to Talk Like a Physician and Get a Physician to Listen Like a Pharmacist. Today, I'm going to pull back the curtain and show you how I train myself to have successful verbal communications with physicians and get my interventions accepted. We'll be going over expected acceptance rates for your interventions, how to make a good first impression on your conversation, planning out your conversation ahead of time, and what to do when the physician comes to you first with a question. Having the right idea on how to care for a patient is only half of the equation. The way the hospital system is set up, there's one person with the absolute authority to make a decision for the patient, the physician. As the pharmacist, you have unique and expert knowledge in areas that the physician may not. You may have the best idea in the world for your patient, but in order to make it happen, you must convince the physician that it is the best idea. If you don't communicate your idea well, it may not be accepted, even if it is the correct idea. So let's go into recommendation acceptance rate. What should your recommendation acceptance rate be? I was surprised when I first looked into this over a decade ago that the published data suggest it should be 90% or higher. I've got 4 relevant studies linked up in the show notes where the published recommendation acceptance rate was between 90 and 99%. I suggest that you take a look at them. First impressions, I've found, are everything. You've got to start off on the right foot when presenting a recommendation. But how do you do it? You get inside the mind of the physician and pay attention to how it is that they think about patients. Physicians approach patients in a problem-based manner. They are used to case studies and history and physicals. They may or may not know the patient you want to talk to them about by name yet, especially if they haven't seen them yet that day. They see many patients, sometimes over 20 in a day, and they may have been in the middle of thinking about a different patient's problems when you talk to them. So the first thing you must do to successfully communicate an idea about a patient to a physician is get the physician to remember and think about your patient. Here is an example of how I do that. First, I'll start with an incorrect first start to the conversation. I want to talk to you about Jane Doe's dose of Lovenox. The correct way: I want to talk to you about Jane Doe, the 55-year-old female you just admitted with a pulmonary embolism and are treating with Lovenox. I think it's easy for you to see the difference. When I first started to take a look at how I was communicating with physicians and really try to improve that, I decided that I was going to plan out my conversations in advance. I found it made a huge difference. Have you ever found yourself kind of stumbling through a conversation with a physician? You know you've got the right thing to do, but you're really having trouble phrasing the problem to the physician. And then halfway through, you get that feeling they're losing interest, they're not really paying attention to you. It's because you went into the conversation without a plan. So to prevent this from happening, I used a tool called iSBAR, which I've got from the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, and I'll link to their SBAR toolkit in the show notes. I use this iSBAR tool to collect my thoughts and train myself how to talk like a physician and get the physician to listen like a pharmacist. Early on, I would literally sketch out the conversation using this tool. After doing that for a while, it's become second nature to me, and I really don't need to do the sketching anymore. So what is iSBAR? The I stands for introduction, and that's optional. I only use it if the physician doesn't know who I am already. S is for situation. The B for background. A for assessment, R for recommendation. Now, the situation should just be a very brief sentence. Why are you calling? The background should be a little bit more brief but pertinent info to the problem you're calling about. The assessment should be your analysis and consideration of the options. And then the recommendation is, what do you want the physician to do? This ISBAR tool helps you collect your thoughts and present them to a physician in a logical manner that allows them to follow your decision-making process. Here are some examples. Number one, hello, Dr. Smith. I'm Joe, a pharmacist. I would like to talk to you about your patient, Jane Doe, the 55-year-old female you just admitted with a pulmonary embolism and are treating with Lovenox, a milligram per kilogram sub-Q BID. I am concerned that her dose of Lovenox is too high given her kidney function. I was looking at her labs and saw her serum creatinine is 1.9. She's 5 feet tall, weighs 45 kilos. She has a history of chronic renal insufficiency from her diabetes. I estimate her creatinine clearance to be 24 mLs per minute. I would like you to consider reducing her Lovenox dose to a milligram per kilo once a day, as this is the recommended dose for her level of renal function. Example 2. Dr. Jones. It's Pharmacy Joe. I would like to talk to you about your patient, John Doe, the 55-year-old male you just admitted with a community-acquired pneumonia and you're treating with levofloxacin, 750 milligrams IV daily. I'm concerned about a potential drug interaction with the patient's sotalol. The patient has been taking sotalol 160 milligrams twice a day for his AFib. Both sotalol and levofloxacin may prolong the QTC, and the risk is greater when the two are used together. The 12-lead EKG done in the ED shows the patient's QTC is already above normal from the sotalol. It's 490 milliseconds. Since the patient has no allergies, I'd like you to consider stopping the levofloxacin and using ceftriaxone, 1 gram daily IV, and doxycycline 100 milligrams IV twice a day instead to treat the patient's pneumonia. This combination will cover the likely pathogens just as well as the levofloxacin would have. There are some quick examples. I've made a free PDF tool for you to practice scripting your own conversations using this ISBAR method, just like I did when I first learned this. So head over to the show notes if you'd like this, and I'll email it to you. The show notes are located at pharmacyjoe.com/episode9. Right in the middle, after I talk about ISBAR, you can put your email in, click on the button that says send me the ISBAR PDF. Now, what about when the physician comes to you first with a question? I've found that physicians seldom start out by asking me the real question as their first question. Instead, they tend to start off with a very narrow and focused question where they're perhaps thinking, if I only knew this one tiny piece of information, then I can answer the real question. But we as pharmacists know and do much more than just recite obscure pieces of information from reference text. To do so, though, we need to know the whole picture, not just the tiny bit that's given to us in the initial question. So now I've got a couple examples to share with you. These were real examples that happened to me of initial narrowly focused questions that were posed to me, and then the real questions that it turned out were underneath that I uncovered later. Example number one. You're sitting on a patient care area, reviewing a patient's chart, when an ICU physician asks you, is there an SSRI of choice? The real question behind this was, today on rounds, we've been discussing patient X, a 54-year-old female, here for a severe GI bleed. She doesn't want to participate in her care, and we think she may be depressed. Her sister died suddenly a few weeks ago. She is on an esomeprazole drip, and she takes carbamazepine for a seizure disorder. We would like to start her on an SSRI. Which one should we choose? Example 2. A family practice resident calls you and asks, how much zinc is in the multivitamins with minerals on formulary? The real question? I'm taking care of a 90-year-old woman who fell and developed rhabdomyolysis. She's 4'9" and 37 kilos. She's been in the hospital now for 8 days. She's severely malnourished. She has a rash on her chest and upper arms that is consistent with a zinc deficiency. We've ordered a zinc level, but it will not be back for several days because it must be sent out to another laboratory. We would like to treat this patient empirically for zinc deficiency. What dose of zinc should we use? Example 3. An emergency physician calls you on the phone and asks, "What is the half-life of methadone?" The real question? "I'm taking care of a 23-year-old male over in resuscitation room 2. He was found in the parking lot in respiratory arrest. His friend says he took too much methadone. We gave him 4 milligrams IV of naloxone, and he is now breathing normally. I'm worried that the naloxone might wear off before the methadone is eliminated, and the patient may go back into respiratory arrest. When should I redose the naloxone? Does the patient need a continuous infusion?" It's plain to see that what starts out as the first question in these examples wasn't anywhere close to the real question. And by answering immediately, or attempting to answer immediately that narrowly focused first question, my ability to impact the care of those patients would have been severely limited. So how do you uncover the real question? You've got to slow down. You slow down yourself and you slow the physician down. So don't just give a knee-jerk answer. Slow the physician down by asking several questions back before answering the question. Who is the patient? Why are they here? What does the rash look like? Are they making urine? Are you planning to IND that wound? What else is in your differential diagnosis? I've never had a negative response when I've used these techniques of asking questions back before answering. Most physicians just answer my questions without even flinching. That allows me to uncover the real question that they need help with. Some are a little bit surprised, but none are insulted, so don't hesitate to ask. If you don't, you're really selling yourself short. You are a clinician that needs time and information to properly answer a question. Physicians don't ever expect their peers to give them a quick answer without knowing the whole picture. Some physicians may not be used to pharmacists asking for time and more details of the whole picture, but they can easily be trained. That's it for today's show. If you would like to share anything on today's topic, or if you have an idea for the show, please let me know in the comments on the show notes page at pharmacyjoe.com/episode9, or by sending an email to joe@pharmacyjoe.com. Please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcatcher. Doing so will help others find the show. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.